Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Right, we are going to turn this morning to Romans chapter 10. And we had finished the series in Haggai, and our plan was this morning to just turn to the Word of God and see what it is that God is saying to us regarding this mission, this important task of planting another church. So Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to read from let's go to verse 11 just to give some context. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Just so far. Lord, as we continue in this worship time, may we have, Lord, hearts and ears and eyes, as it were, open, soft and tender, hearts that are tender to that which you have revealed, that you have given to us. And Lord, again, continuing to pray that you would look with favor, that you would be pleased to be at work among us and even through us. And even through this message today, Lord, your Spirit, we pray that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would be at work in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought I'd introduce this message this morning with another familiar phrase. And it's a phrase that we offer to people sometimes for advice. It goes like this. There are many ways to skin a cat. Okay, I think it's a phrase most of us know. I did a little bit of digging and I found that this phrase has an older version. It, in fact, originated with an older proverb that goes like this. There are more ways to kill a dog than by hanging. Sorry for the dog lovers yet today. More ways to kill a dog than by hanging. Apparently, this goes back to 1840. And the South of America, where they were active in fur trade, And particularly in the practice of skinning catfish, and that's where it changed from dog to cat. Well, the bottom line is, I'm using this phrase, the meaning of the proverb is that there is more than one way to achieve a goal. Many people would say that. There's more than one way that one can solve a problem. Maybe just an example, I think many here, it's true that you can lose unwanted kilograms. Not any here today wanting to lose, but you know the story. You can eat less, or if you like, you can exercise. You can do that by running or going to a gym or doing something else. You can change what you eat, and apparently these days, I understand you can do it the easy way by having an injection. All right, so there are different ways to skin a cat. And the same principle can be applied if you think about growing your investments. And again, there are various ways that one can do that. So the proverb applies in many life situations where there's a desired goal to reach or a problem to solve. This proverb does not apply in the matter of saving faith. So I'm using an opposite illustration to communicate a very important truth. This proverb does not apply. Jews are not reconciled to God in one way and Gentiles in another way. In our passage a little bit earlier on, Romans chapter 10 verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we need to be reminded today, and perhaps even learn for the first time today in the context of pluralism, it is only those who call on the name of the Lord that will be saved. Now, in fact, that phrase, that statement, that truth ought to get us thinking. And thinking with concern about our loved ones. Are we not concerned that our loved ones come to know the forgiving grace of God through our Lord Jesus? Should we not be concerned for our friends and our family, extended family, our neighbors? Should we not be concerned for the city that we live in, the suburbs, the citizens of our country, the nations of the world? I think Central Baptist does have a concern. That's why we support missionaries to the ends of the earth. And I think it answers the question. Many people have been asking this question. Why is this matter of a church plant on our church agenda? Why are we bothering? You've seen the statistics that Jabu shared this morning. There are gatherings of people, Christian people, some of them professing to be believers. Why are we doing this? We could reason. We have two established congregations, one in the city center, one in the Far East of Pretoria. Why then do we want to become uncomfortable? Why would we want to extend ourselves and the resources that we have to plant another church? Well, the answer, or at least part of the answer, is given to us in this passage in Romans chapter 10. I'm hoping, I imagine, or should imagine, that all of us want men and women and children to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. That's surely the heartbeat. It ought to be our heartbeat, that which God has given to us generously and kindly and savingly, we want to share with others. We do want men and women and children to know the forgiveness of God, to be reconciled to God, to know the favorable blessing of God, the presence of God in all and for all eternity. Isn't it a blessing to be able to call God your Father, our Father in heaven? A blessing to know that sense of He is my Father and I am His child, I'm His son, I'm His daughter. Another proverb, secular proverb or human proverb, I don't know, but anyway, came to my mind as I was writing my notes. That won't just happen on a wish and a prayer. And I found there was another version to that. It won't just happen on a wing and a prayer. God requires us to be involved in this process that God has designed. And we need to see that. We need to get that. It's not a process designed by celebrity pulpiteers or leaders, Christian leaders. It's a God-designed process so that men and women and children can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I said to Isaac, but the technology had different ideas this morning. To sing, continue singing, because my sermon is shorter. All right, now the technology cooperated so I can preach longer. But this passage, chapter 10 of Romans, Paul asks a series of what we would call rhetorical questions to outline this logical progression. There's a process to salvation, but what it does do is it emphasizes this essential role of human messengers. Now, again, just to read the passage from verse 14, you have the questions. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Paul has already affirmed, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel chapter 2, that salvation, human responsibility, depends on calling on the Lord. And then what he does in this passage is he works backwards. So think of a chain, and there's a whole bunch of links in this chain. But each of these events, each of these links, necessary in this process for someone to be saved. I want to take each one of these links in this chain and just remind you perhaps, and let us see what each of them actually mean. So we're going to start right at the back. The first one is calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord begins or happens after believing. There must, therefore, this must be referring to a whole experience of salvation, that which takes place after you're born again, after you see something of the glory of Christ and his gospel. And so what we need to see here, Paul and even Joel, is not referring to somebody at a particular point in time only seeing their need of a Savior and calling on God to rescue them, to save them, as they confess their sin, as they repent from their sin, as they place their trust in Christ. If you're a believer, your whole life ought to consist of the reality of calling on the name of the Lord. Because each one of us, and I know many of you here this morning, myself included, we need deliverance, we need help from God at all times. We are totally dependent on Him. Yes, at the point of conversion, to be delivered from the guilt of sin. But what about day by day and week by week? Is it not true that we ought to, we need to be delivered from the power of sin, where we still have those remaining marks of flesh in our lives, calling on God, calling on Him. The many temptations, the difficulties of life, the hardships, the disappointments, and then ultimately, of course, on the wrath of God in the last day. It's a wonderful truth that God has provided justification by faith, declaring objectively for the true believer not guilty. But we still live day by day. We still express faith over and over again throughout life, calling on God for help. A couple of examples from the Psalms. Psalm 18, verse 3. I call upon the Lord. In this instance, he's calling upon the Lord, who is worthy of to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. Do you see the context of dependence? Psalm 50, verse 15. And this is now from God's perspective. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Hear that this morning. You have that privilege, you have that benefit to call upon God in the day of trouble. And the promise of God is, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Or Psalm 91, verse 15, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him, honor him. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. There's an attitude, there's an inclination, there's a mindset that says, I am dependent on God every day, every minute, every week, every month. We're no different to the psalmists. We face these challenges. Our calling out to God is an acknowledgement of daily trust and dependence for God to be our refuge and strength and ever-present help in our time of need. Or to use the phrase that Paul gives in this passage, all those who know the blessing of God in salvation, and I hope most of us here today, we are recipients, verse 12 of our passage, of the Lord, bestowing his riches on us, on all who call on him, in this life and beyond. But that's the final link. This privilege of calling on the name of the Lord is only true for those who believe in the Lord, which is my second point, believing on the Lord. It's a sadness, but it's very common and very true that there are people, particularly in our cultural Christian community, who only call on the Lord in emergencies. I'm sure you've seen that. They do not believe in him. They do not believe in him. There are some who very negatively or perhaps even in anger cry out in frustration, using calling on God, as it were, cursing him. But there are others, and it happens frequently, times of danger, perhaps vulnerability or illness, risk. But these are not calls to God from faith. And folk, I want us to pause there. This is very, very important. There are no shortcuts to the help of God. No shortcuts. There is a need to come to him, to call on him. And in fact, as our passage tells us in verse 9, Paul giving the reason for these people to be assured of their genuine conversion: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's not just calling out to God in when you find yourself, as it were, in a tight spot. Believing on the Lord is about having saving faith. I love this quote from Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. He had a way with words. Let me read it to you. Faith saves us just as the mouth saves from hunger. Now you've got to digest that. Sorry for the pun. If we be hungry, bread is the real cure for hunger. But still, it would be right to say that eating removes hunger. You get the point. Seeing the bread itself could not benefit us unless the mouth should eat it. Faith is the soul's mouth, whereby the hunger of the heart is removed. You can see Christmas time, Jesus coming to this earth as a baby. We can be reminded of the reality that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. We can even know and be told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But if it's all there, and even if it's just here, it's not enough. It must be digested. It must be believed in the heart. The benefits Jesus secured on the cross cannot be yours, it cannot be anybody's, unless you make it yours by faith. Again, quoting Spurgeon, he says, faith is the hand of the soul. Stretched out, it lays hold of the salvation of Christ, and by faith we are saved. So believing, there's that need to believe. But there's another link in the chain. And this is the third part of the message, hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If you were to analyze the Apostle Paul and his ministry, you will find that he's single-minded. He's absolutely determined in proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified. Just give you an example. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why am I saying this? Because there is a specific message, there is content regarding the person and the work of Christ that needs to be heard. Hearing the message. And so what does that mean? It means that this hearing includes truth. doctrinal content, not just noise, not just activity, not just emotion. The detail of the unfolding of redemption history must be explained and spoken of so that people can hear it. Maybe I could use a technical term. Propositions need to be set out. What are those fundamental propositions that people need to hear? God is holy. If you don't understand the holiness of God, you will never understand the gospel. You will never believe and you will never genuinely call out to God. You need to understand that man is sinful, and woman, by the way. Humankind is sinful. And there's a need to turn from that sin and place our trust in Christ, because we understand we have nothing to offer. We need to understand the proposition that apart from the saving grace of God, we will be subjected to the wrath of God forever. Jobber gave statistics today, which they're sad. They're very sad. Some in the church avoid any gospel proclamation for other things. Some of you may know Conrad Mbewe. And he's a pastor up in Zambia, very well received preacher and teacher. And he wrote an article not too long ago, and he compared African traditional religion to much of what's happening in so-called church circles, just with different terminology. And people happily do that because it gathers numbers, but it doesn't give the content of the faith. Some opt for social action, neglecting the offense of the gospel. Others arrange their message, as it were, around felt needs of people. Others arrange their ministry around a defined purpose. Hearing the words of the gospel, of the truth of the gospel, of Jesus and Him crucified and resurrected and ascended, is essential. There can be no saving faith unless the message of Christ is heard. And that leads to the next link in the chain, preaching the message. How are they to hear without someone preaching? God is a speaking God. He communicates to His creatures, us made in His image. He does so through the scriptures. He does so through general revelation. But the specifics of the content are revealed in the scriptures. Again, an example. Paul writing to Timothy in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3. And from childhood, how you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, this revelation from God, and which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is profitable. Folk, why is it that the church neglects the Bible today? It's an offense. It's an offense. But it doesn't save anybody. It gathers people. Paul goes on in the next chapter, it's not in the original, the chapter divisions. He says to Timothy, therefore, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, to do what? Preach the word. We are not creators of what to share on Sunday. We are simply waiters. The meal has been prepared. So all I do is I come and deliver it. You need to eat from it. Preachers need to do that. Then there's the final link in the chain, sending the messenger. How are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Now, folk, a church can remain happy in its own bubble, but it's not right. We are going to feel a group of people, mostly from Arcadia, but some from here, who will go with Jabu and plant a church. But we happily do that. Because we know that it is necessary to send a messenger, a reliable messenger. How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. God sends messengers, entrusts to them, and it's a huge responsibility, the message of reconciliation. Why do we focus on expository preaching at Central? Do you think it's just because it's our flavor or we happen to like it? No. Because it most accurately sets forth the truth of God without compromise. Because if you only preach topically, you're only going to go to passages that you like. So we try and struggle with the difficult passages consecutively because we want to present the entire counsel of God. We want to be faithful waiters, messengers, ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. With that process underway, people hear the gospel, and then they call out to God for salvation. There are five, let me conclude. Five God ordained, God provided crucial links in this chain of evangelism. God's provided means for saving people from their sin, from wrath and judgment. And I want to go back to the beginning. It is true. There are many ways to skin a cat, but there's only one way for people to be saved. Preacher must be sent. We're sending Jabu. But we're going to support him. Along with him, a group of faithful believers will go. The sent preacher, and we will hold him accountable, must preach the good news, remain faithful to the scriptures. Jabu has been with us. He's been tested. He's a faithful preacher to the word of God. We don't know the future. Many years ago, we had an elder in this church. Some of you will remember him. Roy Fredrickson passed away now some years ago. I was in this church a few years at Arcadia. We were struggling in the evening service. And I said to Roy, I think we should shut the service down. And in Roy's style, he said to me, what has God called you to do? Has he called you to count people or to preach the gospel? In season and out of season. You carry on with the work in the evening service, which we did. It's hard, but it's what we must do. We don't know what the response will be, but we need to be faithful, believing that God has many people in the city, as he said to Paul when he was struggling in the ministry at Corinth. And then, of course, this good news must be believed. The belief must be the kind that calls on God for salvation. So pray with us, work with us as we go together in this challenge in this mission. Lord, we do pray for ourselves. It's, Lord, easy to be complacent. It's easy to be comfortable. But Lord, may we be stirred to discomfort and burdening our hearts, Lord, for people who are lost and many people in our city, Lord, who may even be deceived, believing themselves to be followers of Jesus, believing them to be saved. And yet, Lord, that frightening verse, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and I'll say to them, I never knew you. May that not be true of us miscommunicating or deceiving anyone, but Lord, may we be faithful in the full counsel that you have delivered and given to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.